Bless God today. We want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church. Certainly, we thank our very special guest for coming out on this Lord's Day morning. And we also want to let you know that if you enjoy this message, feel free to download it at our website at www.bhbcstl.org. And let me answer the next question you may have. How much does it cost? It is absolutely free. All you need is a computer with internet access, and you can go to recent media and download every sermon that comes from this pulpit. And so know that, and we just want to be an encouragement to the church. And so if you feel so led to do, may God bless you, and we pray that this message will encourage you. Today we're going to continue this series that's entitled, Don't Give Up, Look Up. And all through this year, we've been in this recessionary period. And throughout this recessionary period, the Lord has just been giving me a series of messages to encourage the church, to let them know that God is bigger than anybody's recession. Amen. Amen. God is bigger than the stock market. He's bigger than the banks and the financial institutions. He's bigger than layoffs and job cuts. He's bigger than all these other things that bring about uncertainty. Listen, he's bigger than healthcare. I said he's bigger than the healthcare problem. That's the God we serve. So you don't have to give up. All you have to do is look up. Because the one we serve, he is ever faithful. He is ever true. And he is everlasting. And the one I'm talking about is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you know of someone, you have people in your life who enjoy getting on your nerves? They get some kind of delight out of getting on your last nerves. Y'all, am I talking to somebody besides myself? You know of somebody in your life and they love it. They get a rise out of it. They love getting on your nerves. They see you coming and then they just immediately go into an agenda which is based on making sure they rob you of your joy. Well, be careful, men, not to point to your wives. I don't want to do any more counseling than I'm already doing. David was a man who had his share of enemies. And like David, we as believers, we got enemies. And all they want to do is rob us of the experience that God has called us to live out as his children. But God's word reminds us that no carnal weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you get a chance, you need to memorize that verse. No carnal weapon formed against you shall prosper. And so when people attack us in an effort to rob our joy in Christ, we need to take our eyes off the enemy and put our trust in God. In Psalms 5, David gives a song, a morning worship hymn to God that basically looks at the enemy, it looks at God, it looks at who he is and what it means to trust him. Turn with me now to Psalms number 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 of this very beautiful hymn. Psalms number 5. Allow me to read it for you. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. How many of you got folk like that? Always telling you how wonderful you are, but stabbing you in the back. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Verse 11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Amen. I would like for us this morning to focus on verses 4-6, which talks about the people and attitudes that gets on God's nerves. I want to talk about folk who get on God's nerves. Some of us say, oh, God's a God of love and mercy. Yes, but there are some things that absolutely gets on his nerves. And there's a whole list of them given to us in verses 4-6. And your job and my job is to not be counted among that list.
Amen.
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 Because the same God who loves us is the same God who judges.
Amen.
Amen. And some of us say, well, I didn't come to hear that kind of sermon, but that's probably the kind of message you need to hear today.
Amen.
And we need to look to him and recognize that if we're going to not give up and look up, understand that he's holy.
Amen.
Understand that he is righteous and he is just. And he will not tolerate those who choose to walk in disobedience. Now, I'm not talking about those who are too weak to walk right. I'm talking about those who know better and walk wrong. Amen. I'm not talking about the crackhead who can't give up crack. I'm talking about the one who's sitting in church and smoking it. Amen, because you're hearing the word. Amen. I'm not talking about the one who can't get off the casino. I'm talking about the one who held their offering and spent it on the casino. God ain't gonna put up with that. Amen. I don't believe in tithing. You tithe at that boat down there. You believe in tithing. You just don't believe in tithing in church. Well, God is not your play toy. He's not Tickle Me Elmo. You got to go play with him. He ain't playing. Amen. Look at verse 4, it says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. The Bible tells us that God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and patient, but that does not mean that he takes delight in sin. God hates sin. Let's get that straight. God hates sin, and he deals with it in one of two ways. He either judges it or he forgives it. And your talent does not give you the right to live sinfully before God. I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how good you can preach. You don't have a right to bring a lifestyle that is wicked into the house of God just because you bad on stage. Because God don't need another entertainer. When the angels in heaven bless him all day long, he don't need you. And here's a news flash. The church don't need you either. You cannot say that I can do what I want because the church needs me and the church won't function without me. Honey, that's not a church then. God hates sin and God is tired of folk playing with him. He goes on to say, nor shall evil dwell with you. What is evil? Evil can be defined as any thought, word, or deed that violates the word of God. You can shout as loud as you want. You can pray as long as you want. But if your heart is filled with pride, jealousy, envy, and bitterness, and unforgiveness, your prayer is not going anywhere, and neither is your praise. I don't care how good you can shout. I don't care how wonderful you can articulate the word hallelujah. It doesn't matter to God if your heart's not right. For man looks on the outward condition, but God looks on the heart. That's all he wants, is the heart. God's not after your mouth. He wants your heart, which produces what comes out of your mouth. He wants to get at the source of your existence. He don't want rhetoric. He wants righteousness. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen to me, you ain't doing nobody no good coming to church if you don't have a desire to change your life. You're not helping nobody. Hearing a sermon and beating a tambourine and shouting all day and going out and doing whatever you big and bad enough to do, that's not going to help you, and you're not helping nobody. You fooling you, but you're not helping you. A good sermon won't help a dying sinner unless that sinner wants to be saved. Amen. Amen. You got to want this, y'all. Evil will not dwell with God. And listen to me, saints. Understand this, that when we look to God for strength, some of us need to first look to him for mercy. When I say don't give up, look up, maybe the first thing you need to look to him for is forgiveness. Amen. Amen? Because the God we serve, if he is given the option of forgiving you versus judging you, he will always choose to forgive you. What are you saying? I'm saying this, my friend. God would rather forgive you than judge you. He'd rather open the prison than lock it and throw away the key. He'd rather send you to heaven than ship you to hell. This is the God we serve. And I know some of y'all heard some very crazy things about God and this, that, and the other. And you listen to politics and those who have this kind of political bent that God is going to kill all the homosexuals and the Muslims and the this. Listen to me. God is reaching out to every last one of them. God does not hate sin, but then again, we don't want to misrepresent him. God would rather forgive than judge. Let me say it again. God would rather forgive the homosexual. He would rather forgive the atheist. He would rather forgive the dope dealer. He would rather forgive them than judge him. So don't you go judging them. You don't have to judge them. They got a judge already. Ezekiel 18 says, and this is God speaking to Israel, have I any pleasure in the death of the evildoer, says the Lord? Am I not pleased if he is turned from his way so that he may have life? For I have no pleasure in the death of him on whom death comes, says the Lord. Then turn back and live. God doesn't have any pleasure when the sinner dies without knowing him. Consider what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, watch this, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We serve a God who is merciful, who would rather forgive than to judge, but you can't play with him. You can't play with him. He's all those wonderful things. He is gracious, merciful, long-suffering. He will endure with us until the end. But don't treat him like you treat your cousin at a family reunion. He is a holy God. He is righteous. Don't play him cheap, because he is holy and he is God. I once heard a minister say, we're doing a series here in our Bible study called Fake Christianity, and a minister got up and said on the television, if you order for you to have your life changed, you need to start acting like God. My friend, that is impossible. Amen. For his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts, as the heaven is higher than the earth. You can't act like you. How can you act like God? You can't even act like you. You're so busy acting like somebody else. You need to learn how to act like you first. And we're going to deal with things like them statements like and foolishness is going on. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. He goes on in verse 5. David does in Psalms 5. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. Let's make sure we know who these folks are. The boastful are those who brag about their sin and have no fear of the Lord. I'll do whatever I want to do. And if there's a God who thinks he can stop me, let him try. In the book of 2 Kings, there was this king called Sennacherib. And he came up against God's people. And he said something like this to his Hezekiah. He sent Hezekiah a letter. And it turned out to be his last letter. He says, well, I have defeated so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and their gods. Now, how does your God think he gonna defeat me and stop me from taking over you? So Hezekiah takes the letter, goes to the house of God, lays the letter out in the temple at the altar, and starts to pray. And then God speaks to the prophet and says, tell Sennacherib this, I know where you live. God got a little hood in him. I know where you live. I'm going to put a hook in your nose and take you back where you came from. And as soon as Sennacherib got back home, two of his sons killed him. Got killed by his own kids. So Hezekiah didn't even have to fight. God just basically said, I know where you live. And I heard what you said. I heard what you said about me, that I can't stop you. All right, it's on now. See, the boastful aren't, you're not going to stand in the sight of God. That's why in the book of Proverbs it says, there is no counsel that will stand against the Lord. I don't care what you're coming up with. You might propose, but God will dispose. The boastful shall not stand in their sight. That's why Jesus' little brother, James, his half-brother rather, said, don't say we will do this or that tomorrow, but if it is the Lord's will, we will do it. Why? Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Don't go bragging about, oh, I'm going to get ready and I'm going to do this. You don't know if you're going to be in the hospital room tomorrow. The boastful will not stand in his sight. You got folks who like to brag about their sin. Let me tell you what the wages are. What are the wages of sin? So why are you bragging about it? Why would you brag about something that brings death in your life? Because you're blind. That's all. You don't know what sin does. Let's finish up verse 5. You hate all workers of iniquity. You hate all workers of iniquity. This is what David telling God in his prayer. You hate, Lord. You hate all workers of iniquity. Now, there are some who think that the word hate should not be used when talking about God. Well, I want you to understand, there are some things that God hates. You say, well, what do I do about it? Don't be those things. God hates sin. And he has no pleasure in dealing with those who refuse to give up their sinful ways. God hates the workers of iniquity, people who have an agenda to continue to live in disobedience to the word of God. That's what a worker of iniquity is. One who is committed to living in disobedience to God. That's the workers of iniquity, and God hates them. Well, how can God hate them and love them? God can hate the sin and the work. Remember, he said the workers of iniquity. But he's always willing to save them. But if they don't want to be saved, if they don't want to be saved, that's on them. Amen? That's on them. That's what we have to understand, that we're not here to try to fill up a bunch of blue seats when a bunch of folk are living their lives. They're broken. They don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. Hey, here's the church right here. Here's the cross right here. Here's deliverance right here. Here's blessing right here. And you ain't got time to go to church? Time for the church to stop selling itself. Having commercials about, oh, you need to come to our church. You need to come to Jesus. God hates the workers of iniquity. And I don't mind saying God hates the workers of iniquity. I hate the workers of iniquity. Amen. Don't you hate folk who steal all the time? Lie all the time? Cheat all the time? Drink all the time? I'm serious. The workers of iniquity. Can't trust them with nothing. There's some folk, they so messed up, I wouldn't buy dirt from them. The dirt might be bad. Ain't a mix the dirt with something. Verse 6. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. You know what? Today, I believe that this particular verse has more to say to saints than sinners. I can go on and talk about the guy out there who's lying, but I have to first talk about the guy in here. I believe this verse has a lot more to say about the church and the folk who are in it than it does about the sinner who is on their way to separation from God. Because we have a lot of people, folks, who are speaking in the name of the Lord, but they do not speak the truth concerning Him. They're speaking falsehood. They tell us that God promises us that He will do things like make us wealthy, heal our bodies, ease our pain, when the Word of God does not make that claim. Listen, if it was true that God will make you wealthy, everyone would be saved. You wouldn't even have to be able to put a sign on the outside. Folk would know where the church is. If knowing God puts money in my pocket, what kind of deal is that to refuse? Who would refuse that? Oh, y'all not listening. Listen to me. If knowing God puts money in my pocket, who is dumb enough to turn down that deal? But the Bible does not make those claims, but you have people running around, getting on somebody's TV set, and telling everybody that if you send money to them, God will send money to you, as if there's some kind of give and take relationship. And I wish, again, we were outside of Blessed Hope. I tell you what kind of relationship that is, but that's all right. We're going to move on. Listen. Yeah, when I give you something and I get something, that's the kind of I don't look at my God like that. But I know what kind of relationship that is. And some of y'all looking at me funny like, ooh, pastor. Well, that's what's going on, folks. So y'all want that delicate language and stuff and go half the sleep. You're going to wake up in here. God doing favors for you because you pay Him. There's something very wrong with that relationship. Think about that. You giving Him money, He do something for you. There's something very sick about that relationship. You don't want to value God as somebody who you pay and He does something for you. You're making Him something that you really shouldn't. That's why the Bible says He will destroy. See, we got to destroy that message. You got to get rid of that message. Because that message ain't nothing but mess. So don't be upset with God because God go destroy. Well, what? Look how you're treating Him. Yeah, but He gonna have mercy on me after He break you down. Why do you think Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why do you think God says that? Why do you think He's trying to warn you not to play with Him, not to mock Him, to keep you from dying? What do you think the book of Leviticus is all about when you read Leviticus and God says, mix the fragrance like this and mix the oil like this? Why do you think He does? To protect you. Leviticus would actually be better termed or titled is how to worship God without God killing you. That's why you got all those, you got 15 different instructions on how to offer a lamb. And I've had some lamb and they don't take no 15 instructions, but if you go offer it to God and you don't want God to kill you, you got to offer it just like this. All the feasts and the days and everything is so meticulous and intricate and detailed and defined. And you go, ooh, man, God is really technical. He's trying to save the worshiper from dying in an effort to worship Him. And there's been several examples of folk who took Him wrong. Y'all remember Uzzah and David was going to bring the ark, right? To Jerusalem and the cattle got a little, probably hit on a rock. The ark began to fall. And Uzzah, who was there, who was not a Levite, shouldn't have been carrying it anyway. But look at God up in heaven, go, okay, I'm looking. Better not touch me. Uzzah reaches out and in a favor to God, he tries to catch the ark from falling. God touches Uzzah. You touch me, I'll touch you back. Uzzah falls dead. And it is R.C. Sproul who puts it like this. Why would God allow the ark to fall on the dirt and not allow man to touch it? Because the dirt is holier before God than man is. See, the dirt does what it was made to do. Man does not. That's why God said, let it fall on the dirt. The dirt is more obedient. Oh. I'd rather fall on the dirt than fall on the hands. Oh. As a little R.C. Sproul with a tinge of soul. And then Aaron had two sons. They gonna mix up the incense any way they want. And they gonna come in here shouting hallelujah with that messed up incense. God said, oh no, you're not. You're out. Ananias, Sapphira, go bring in that old messed up offering. Sold the house for 50 grand. Go bring in 25. Out. So I had to give you a little New Testament to let you know, be careful who you're messing with. I will destroy those who speak falsehood. This is a message to the church. This is not even to the sinner. We need to stop lying on God. And instead of telling people to come to church and be healed, we need to tell them to come to church and be saved. God did not promise you that he would heal you if you're sick. God is not interested in this flesh. That's why Paul says ain't nothing good about it. Listen to me. You have to understand God is interested in your heart. He's interested in your soul. And I would rather go to heaven sick than hell well. If God healed you, it had nothing to do with your faith. Y'all have heard me. You see, some of y'all not from Blessed Hope, but Blessed Hope know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. If God healed you, had nothing to do with your faith. It had everything to do with God. You say, Pastor, why do you say it? So that you won't brag and say, my faith. You think God would trust you with that? Your faith didn't heal you. The grace of God healed you. I was healed by faith. No, you weren't. You were healed by grace. Listen to me. I've got a stepdad and his sister. They both got cancer at the same time. In the 50 years that I've known my dad, I can count on two hands the number of times I've seen him in church. My aunt, who is his sister, is an evangelist with the Apostolic Church. One gets breast cancer, he gets colon cancer. God heals him and takes her. And he's at home watching the Rams. Just got from the doctor with a clean bill of health. And my aunt, who is evangelist so-and-so, I won't give her name, is at home with the Lord. You say, Pastor, why? I don't know. But that's the God we serve. That's why you can't claim nothing of him. Because he does not zig when you zig. When you zig, he may zag. Why? Because he can. He's not your cosmic genie in a lamp that you can play with. Stop lying on him. Instead of telling people to sow a seed, we need to tell them to watch and pray. Instead of telling them, get ready, get ready, get ready, we need to tell them to get right. Pastor, you're making a lot of enemies. I'm dealing with a message. I don't have any enemies. I hate no one, but I hate ideas. Ideas that promise something when it promises nothing. And see, my little Welson upbringing, it has some good because I'm not afraid of no Negro. I don't mind letting it be known. If you ugly, I will tell you. All you have to do is ask me. Well, I wrote this book, and that book is a bunch of mess. I don't mind telling you, you don't need to position yourself to prosper. You need to position yourself to obey. Position yourself to serve. Position yourself to give glory. Position yourself for worship. I get mad. Don't matter to me. I'll take the 15 people who still go here. It don't matter to me. You're not dealing with some chump who hopes to be able to do this and that. I'm not looking for nobody's platform, so I don't have nothing to lose. Not trying to look cute for nobody. But I need to tell the truth. The people, the preachers are lying on God. Folk are lying on God. And I'll be the first one to tell you, some of y'all don't need to be rich. You blew the 50 cent he gave you already. You don't need to be rich. You destroy yourself. A study was conducted of lottery winners. The average lottery winner goes from millionaire to bankruptcy in 16 months. God go give you money. Okay. All right, keep lying on me. That's what God is saying. Let me tell you this, folks. A God who gives his children everything they want is not a God, he's a myth. And you can make a lot of money selling a myth. You can make a lot of money selling God as a myth, but he is no myth, my friend. He is no cosmic fairy tale, no celestial genie in a lamp, no cosmic Santa Claus who's bringing a big old bag of blessings. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve will take you through the valley of death. He'll take you up, he'll take you down. As soon as you climb one mountain, he'll give you a bigger one. And he does not tolerate wickedness of any kind. He doesn't tolerate those attitudes that get on his nerve. He doesn't tolerate boasting, bragging, workers of iniquity, folk who think that they can tell God what to do, then lie on God saying, if you do this, God will do that, when God didn't say in his word he would do anything. God is not on the hook to do nothing for flesh. You can't hook God. So you might as well stop quoting his word to him. Quote it to your own self. If your heart's not right, God ain't listening. Get that in your spirit. If your heart's not right, God's not listening. Yeah, but you should have heard so-and-so pray. Why? First Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. And you're seeing that judgment already, but some of you folk want to recycle some of these old scandal bags. I'm not into that. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Let me say it again. Some of y'all want to recycle some of these icons just because they got this gift of music and this gift of preaching. They can divorce anybody they want. They can mess with anybody they can want. They can have any lifestyle that they want. And you want to recycle them when God is saying he wants them to repent. And then you go talk about glorifying God. You cannot glorify God and live in sin. You cannot glorify God and walk in wickedness. You cannot glorify God and live in staunch disobedience and rebellion to his word. You can't get up and do nothing but entertain a bunch of folk and fool yourself. And we need to stop recycling these Negroes that are making us look bad. I mean, they doing all anything they want to do. Marrying who they want to marry, living any lifestyle. I just got a video sent to me the other day. The pastor says, I'm gay. Now, if God don't have a problem with it, and he's dealing with me, my friend, you're messing with fire. He is a consuming fire. Keep playing with him. You keep on playing. Listen, I don't mind. Listen, I love the gay community. I love homosexuals, but don't try to preach. If you want to hang outside of Blessed Hope Bible Church and talk about the joys of being gay, I respect your right. But when you come in the house of God, we got to part company. Because I'm not going into your community and tell you you all messed up. So listen to me. I love you. God loves you more. I'm not sure that even came out right. Something tells me that didn't come out politically correct. But we don't want to play a game with God and going to, you know, lie on no rich. You father, help your children. Don't let them fall. You know, we got to make sure we know who the children are. Don't give up, saints. Look up. But make sure that when you look up for mercy. Look up for grace. Hallelujah. God bless you and God keep you. Give him praise. Hallelujah.